You're listening to Banal Leakage, Episode 80, Disgusting Behavior. All right, I really don't try to go 3+ weeks between podcast episodes. Trust me, my urge to record more often is strong. Just not stronger than my distractions and various other things that get planned for me without my knowledge. Weather-wise, it's Saturday, May 28th that I'm recording this. Weather's been one nice day and 6 days of rain and cold. Oh, I miss Mexico. And with that, let's start the news. Former U.S. Speaker of the House Dennis Hastert charged with sexually abusing students. So back on April 27th, about a month ago, Mr. Hastert was sentenced to 15 months in prison for spending $1.7 million in hush money to cover up his sexual abuses decades ago. Now, this all came to light almost a year ago when the money trail and details about his pervy actions were found. The indictment was brought down. The range of time that these sexual abuses happened was during Mr. Hastert's time as a high school teacher and a wrestling coach. So, yeah, a long time ago. He's old now. So the sickening part about all this is that someone like Hastert escaped his actions for years. Yeah. Think about it. Covered up for years. How the hell does someone live with this kind of crap, you know, in their life? I mean, you know, do they just expect that no one will ever find out about it? You know, kind of like the Sandusky, was the college football thing that happened. Jerry Sandusky molesting boys, and then what's his name, that famous coach? I can't remember. But, you know, I mean, that stuff gets covered up for years, you know. Current and former politicians are now coming to his defense. Oh, my gosh, I feel so bad for him. Feel bad for what? That he covered this shit up for years? Oh, my God, you know? So, anyway, so he's got endorsements from these people, and it's like, oh, please. Yeah. Anyway, it's quite backwards for people to trust and endorse this man, but have several states that are enacting laws, you know, which I've covered here on various episodes, who are afraid to share a bathroom with a transgender person. Oh my, they're just playing around. They're just trying to molest people. Really? You got a molester that was Speaker of the House. Oh, my God. Oh, disgusting. So, I don't know. 15 months is not that long, in my opinion. But at least he was sentenced. The judge was pretty harsh. He called him a serial child molester. We have an ongoing history of these straight males being the pervs, you know. So, I mean, the judge didn't say that, you know. But the judge called him serial child molester. I, on the other hand, have said that we have an ongoing history of these straight males being the pervs. So while this was many years ago, it's still something that happens far too often. You know. So, yeah, these people that are, again, mentioning the whole thing, you know, with the transgender bathroom issue, I don't understand why people have misdirected hate towards, you know, certain people that have never, you know, rarely, you know, I mean, you know, I won't say never, you know, anyone's capable of doing something stupid, but, oh, my gosh, you know, it's just crazy. So, anyway, glad he's sentenced. He should have been longer, but, hey. Justice at least has been partially done on this case. Gay drama teacher responds to anti-gay parent. So Michael Neary is a drama teacher in England. So a parent sends him a text telling him that she found out he was gay and that she doesn't want her kid being around gay people. Oh, my gosh, a gay drama teacher. And she wants her deposit back. So the drama teacher responds with a great text, telling her that he's disappointed, but that her child is always welcome back. I mean, what a great response here. I'm actually going to read his response. It's kind of cool. I'll read hers and then I'll read his here. All right, here we go. Let's see here. Let me grab my So her reply to him, "Hi, Michael, following our chat this week, I have decided that, you know, her child's names are been eradicated here, will not be attending class on Monday. You have a strong reputation for performing arts, which encouraged me to sign my children up for classes. I have recently learned that of your lifestyle, and as a Christian, I cannot allow my children to be influenced by unconventional ideas. It is our belief that a man should marry a woman. I look forward to receiving my deposit, which you may post to me via check." And he's like, "Hi," the name's eradicated. I would be lying if I said I was disappointed to hear this. I pride my students on the respect and love they have for others and their passion for equality. You would only be infringing on our family. As far as I'm aware, my sexuality doesn't affect my ability to teach, just like it wouldn't affect a doctor's ability to treat one of your children should they become unwell. I'm sure your children's health would come first should they need emergency treatment, or would you need to check their doctor's lifestyle prior to their life-saving operation? I wish you luck in finding an appropriate stage school that meets your needs. However, from experience, I find that theater without gays is like cooking without spices." Just my opinion. I hear, and then he goes on and he mentions a couple things. He says there are teachers, I've heard of other schools, but there are teachers known to have wear mixed fabrics, which I'm sure you are aware of is forbidden in the Bible. And he quotes the Bible verse here. "Please feel free to come and see our musical, Happy Days. Confetti will be used in the finale, but please rest assured that this is not an attempt to corrupt your Christian lifestyle. We just love glitter. Unfortunately, deposits are non-refundable, but don't worry, your deposit has been donated to Stonewall, an LGBT charity. Regards." What an awesome response. Oh my gosh. So, anyway, it's amazing to me how people pull this kind of crap, then use their religious beliefs as a ruse to treat others with disrespect. I applaud this drama teacher and hope that this bigoted mother will at least see the smallness of respect in her ways. Woman kicked out of women's restroom after being mistaken for transgender. Linda Hovensky, I have a photo of the arrest happening on the show notes for this episode. She's a 54-year-old resident of Charlotte, North Carolina. Was tased multiple times by police because she looked like a man. She had already started doing her business and had her pants down in the stall, in the restroom stall. She was told she was a viable threat to police officers simply for using the restroom. You think that's bad. It gets worse here. She was kept in jail for 5 hours because she wasn't able to identify herself. A friend brought her proof of identity to the police station. She was taken so quickly that she left her identity back at the scene of the crime, you know, the bathroom, and her friend had to go bring it to her because they couldn't identify her. Anyway, so after they identified her, she was released. What kind of bumbling freak show is going on in North Carolina? I mean, other states too, but this is ridiculous. You know, this whole discrimination against transgendered people is insane. So much that people that look as if they are the opposite sex are being treated with force and disrespect. This is only going to get worse. You know, mark my words on this. So, yeah, upcoming episode, I talk about, you know, the whole racial thing and everything like that. I'm just utterly disgusted by how far this has gotten here. So, but it's what it is in our society today, and we just need to fight against it. This week's rant, leaving trash in a parking lot. So back in episode 29, I ranted about how disgusting it is when people leave a dirty diaper in a parking lot. Not to be excused are those who dump their trash in a parking lot. So the other night, I was at the grocery store, spotted someone's Arctic Circle cups and a burger bag left behind. Who the hell does this? I mean, who the hell thinks it's acceptable to not walk 40 feet from your car to a trash can and dispose of this waste? I'm sick of seeing this total disrespect for the public. People are just selfish. Yes, sometimes it's cold outside with snow and ice, you know, in the wintertime, you know. But it can't take a few. It can't take a few minutes to go put this in the trash. Just, you know, leave it in your car. Take it to your house to the trash. You know, or maybe the house these people live in is already a pile of trash. So I have zero respect for any of these lazy members of society and their selfish, trashy mindsets. This week's shameless plug. So I'm going back to later last year. My trifecta of seeing Slash in three different bands. So Guns N' Roses, Velvet Revolver, and his solo band. So back in 1991, I saw Guns N' Roses, which still had Slash in the band, even though it wasn't quite the original lineup. Matt Sorum replaced Steven Adler on drums for that particular lineup. Then in 2005, I saw Slash in Velvet Revolver, which had Scott Weiland from Stone Temple Pilots on vocals, as well as Matt Sorum and Duff McKagan from the Guns N' Roses lineup from 91. And now, but this goes back to October. Now, after several visits to Utah, I finally went and saw Slash with his backing band, The Conspirators. So I think, if I remember right, my date is October 15th is when this show was. Show was incredible. Slash and his band played for 2 hours, you know, and it was a little club here in Salt Lake. Well, not really little, I mean, but it's a good club called The Depot. It's an indoor place. It reminds me of, years ago, it was supposed to be a house of blues before they backed out. So, but they still build it, and they have some really incredible shows there. And so Miles Kennedy on vocals, he's from the band Alter Bridge, but he's absolutely incredible. He made every song his own, including the songs from, you know, their, you know, the two solo albums that he's done with Slash. And the Guns N' Roses covers were incredible. The lone Velvet Revolver song, Slither, you know, which it's a really incredible song anyway. He did a really great cover. I mean, he's not mimicking Axl in the Guns N' Roses, or didn't mimic Scott Weiland on Slither, but he's good. I mean, he makes these songs his own. So, you know, so many of the songs that he's written and performed with Slash were incredible. Slash had his trademark top hat. He was in full form. I was quite a ways back, you know, not all the way back, but it's a smaller club, so it wasn't like a big stadium where you can barely make him out. You know, he's good. You know, you have a good view here. So I've played his last two albums to death and know every song they performed. You know, I mean, I was so awesome. So with many bands skipping Utah these days, it's nice to see someone as big as Slash still bringing the show to Salt Lake City. Of course, now Slash, you know, is with Guns N' Roses now. So I might actually go and take a viewing of one of these concerts this year. It just depends on, you know, they're not coming to Utah. So we shall see, you know. But there's my Slash trifecta. What the hell are they thinking? Want to leave feedback? Email podcast@banalleakage.com. Thank you for listening, and as always, if you can't be specific, just be random.